Welcome to Wonder Reality, continuing on one glorious topic, the presence of Jesus Christ, the anointing, the kingdom. Within that, I do want to share some of these amazing revelations which I have heard from other teachers. I want to give them credit. But the foremost theme, purpose of these messages, the glorious presence of Jesus Christ, which is the answer for us, for every person on the earth. When we meet Him, He's the only one we will want. The things of this world will just fade away, we'll realize how meaningless they are and how they don't provide us fulfillment like that only He can. There will be background noises, airplanes, possibly people talking, other things. Just letting you know, I'm in a public place called a greenway with a walkway and trails. First point related to a previous message. If we look at the big picture, the universe as we know it, we don't know how old it is. But I want to try to be short. God Almighty, the great and awesome God Almighty, at some point, his first creation may have been His Son and the Trinity. He created angels. And the most powerful angel was Lucifer. He created millions upon billions of these angels in five classifications. The most powerful one, Lucifer, the only one who held two offices. This is all in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. This is all in the Bible. What I'm about to tell you, when someone hears it, they may immediately think, whoa, what is this? This is unbelievable. This is incredulous. This is far-fetched. This is all in the Bible. God created this universe. He created the earth. And on the earth, there was a pre-Adamic race long before human beings. And remember, this is going back billions upon billions of years, we don't know how long. The earth is estimated, some estimates put the earth at 12 billion years old, 14 billion years old. Really, we don't really know, but this is from geologists and archaeologists' studies, right? God created the earth with this pre-Adamic race, with animals such as dinosaurs, which we have discovered, right? And He put Lucifer in charge of the earth. He gave Lucifer dominion over the earth, over that pre-Adamic race. This is long before human beings were created. So I'm summing up literally trillions, possibly billions, trillions of years in just 3 minutes. But I want us to look at the big picture. I'm coming to a point here that I made in the previous message. Lucifer fell. He rebelled. He tried to exalt himself above God. Remember, he was the highest created being just under God. And God Almighty even knew that this would happen because Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. He had a plan even before Lucifer rebelled and fell and caused and sin. So, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan takes one-third of the angels with him in his rebellion, and he enslaves that pre-Adamic race, who are half animals and half humans, essentially. Those are today's demons. They are under Satan's control. They hate him. They are slaves to him. They have to do what he says. How do we know demons are half human, half animals? They can talk. We know that. Anyone who's read the New Testament can see that. And so more on that later. Moving ahead, possibly billions, trillions of years, God has a plan. And his plan was, and is, he created a being into his own image. The only being that we know of that he's ever created in his own image, man and woman. And he gives them the dominion over the earth that Lucifer had lost. He makes that man, Adam and Eve, and the human race, kings and princes over the earth. And so, let's look at the big picture again. These 6,000 years that mankind has been on the earth, the devil, who's now Satan, he was Lucifer, he's had a consistent plan and pattern of trying to disrupt God's glorious plan. God's glorious plan was create a being in his own image to fellowship with, to live with forever, to be his children. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, I give you dominion over the earth. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are kings and lords. Jesus called the devil the prince of this world three times. I believe it's three times in the book of John. He's the prince of this world system. That he's still trying, he still rules over that, and he's still trying to deceive, and he is deceiving human beings into following this world system and him. Because he hates God. He's jealous. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. He is the author of sin. But this pattern through history of the devil trying to stop God's plan. He did it by sending the angels down. This is in the Bible. I'm not just making this up. The first one was deceiving Eve and Adam into eating of the tree. And so man fell and man sinned. And we've had 6,000 years ever since of the suffering of the fall of man and the resulting problems with that. The next big one, he sends angels down who look like men and have sex with women and create this race, polluting the seed. He's trying to stop the seed of the Messiah, who he knows is going to save the world. And only Noah and his family had the pure seed, and so God had to kill everyone else in the flood. That's all in the Bible. The next one, another one. Jesus is born. The devil has a plan to go and kill all the babies in an area to try to kill the Messiah. How tragic to have all the babies in a certain area killed. This is the devil. There's others, but that's what we're dealing with today. Now the devil's trying to deceive human beings into not following Jesus Christ, following anything else. And if they don't follow the one true God and Jesus, he deceives them and they end up in hell forever. We are kings and lords. God wants to fellowship with us. We can take our place. We can take our position. We should, if we get this revelation from the Holy Spirit, it should compel us, propel us. It should bring us into that place where we walk in union with Him and we fellowship with Him, just as natural as waking up and going throughout our day. As natural as the air around us, the sunlight around us, the natural world. It's what we were born to do, is walk with Him and fellowship with Him. We can come to Him with boldness when we realize these wonderful truths and revelations that this is why God created mankind, why He created us. These epic revelations, epic truths. I'm trying to think of the best descriptive words. Glorious, eternal truths. But what I'm trying to say is big, you know, magnanimous, epic, incredible truths and revelations that reveal to us and answer so many of those questions people have. And these are serious things, aren't they? You know, God, that truth that God had a plan even before anything, at the very end, the everlasting covenant, the first covenant, God had the plan that He would send His Son who would die and shed His blood. But serious things. The devil comes down and deceives man and causes the fall. The devil sends angels to have sex with humans, and then God has to destroy everyone on the earth. But Noah, this is serious. This is serious. He kills all the babies in a certain area to try to kill the Messiah. The Messiah comes and He has to shed His blood and die for us. When we learn about that, we realize, and I want to touch on that in this message, possibly in a minute or two, some unbelievable truths and revelations. Our eternal destiny is at stake. A human being without Jesus Christ is in a dangerous, precarious place. And we, as followers of Jesus, it's serious for us because we need to continue on with Him. If He's called us to ministry, we need to do that. Let me try to, again, be short and present this. The power of the blood. When God created Adam and Eve, He spoke into them, "Let us create man in our image." Man awoke and His blood was flowing throughout his body. Let's think about it from a practical standpoint today. What's the most important aspect of our human body? It could be argued that our breath is, of course, we're breathing. Breath is life. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the breath of heaven. But the one entity in our body that's the most important is our blood. In fact, the Bible even says life is in the blood. And there are seven covenants in the history of mankind. I've mentioned those in a previous message. The everlasting covenant, the Adamic, the Noahic, the Mosaic, the Abrahamic, the Davidic, the new covenant, and the everlasting. Every one of those covenants was... Now, please bear with me. I'm not an expert on this, but I want to just touch on these things. Every one of these covenants has promises, conditions, and has a seal. But every one of them, there's blood is involved in those covenants. For example, the Abrahamic, it was circumcision was the seal, I believe. In the Adamic, God created woman out of man, and so out of his side, that was blood coming out of his side. And also, after they sinned, God gave them coats of animal skins, which animals had to be killed and their blood shed for that covering that they received. Let me just present this. Someone who's unsaved, someone who has no concept of the gospel and of Jesus Christ, if they hear about, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus dying, you know, Jesus shed his blood 7 times. Amen. He shed his blood. People may wonder to themselves, and they may ask, you know, why is the blood... They may wonder, why is the blood so important? Why did the blood have to be shed? Why did God have to come to the earth and, as a man, send his only son to die and shed blood? This is a pretty harsh, extreme thing. Very harsh and extreme. And all throughout the Old Testament, all the sacrifices of the animals and their blood shed, why did this have to happen? Well, the first answer is, he's God Almighty. Who are we to question him in any way? We should accept these things and be in awe of him. And humble ourselves before him forever. If we want to deal with it practically, the Bible says life is in the blood. I'm just going to share some things, just present them, and just let anyone who is worthy to receive them and just read for yourself in the Bible, research it, look it up, Google it, meditate on it, seek God about it. Seek him, find out revelations from him. I'm just going to present these things. Life is in the blood. When God created Adam and spoke into him, the first thing that started flowing, blood started flowing through his body. Our blood comes directly from the throne room of God, from God himself. Our blood is our life. It's a holy, sacred thing. Every human being's blood that's flowing in their body comes from God Almighty, descended from Adam, and Adam's blood came directly from the throne of God when he created Adam. Amen. It's holy. It's sacred. God is holy. God is sacred. Everything he does is holy and sacred. Amen. His creation of man is a sacred, holy thing. As I said, when we find the Holy Spirit, everything becomes redeemed and everything becomes holy and sacred. I have to keep saying that because we are kings and lords. When we find him, we're in this eternal, glorious kingdom. And then all throughout the Old Testament, we see again and again the sacrifices, the calves, the lambs, all the different sacrifices. We see in Leviticus, I believe, it's when the priest kills one bird and has another bird, and he takes the blood and mixes it with water and puts in hyssop and scarlet and the bird, and then he sprinkles it 7 times on the leper because Jesus shed his blood 7 times. Before he died, satisfying God's holiness is is one way to put it. But again, let's just humble ourselves before Him, and let's get revelation from Him. You have an anointing and don't have need of any man teaching you. You have the anointing. Anyone with Jesus Christ has the greatest being in the universe teaching them. We can learn from other human teachers for sure. But we also have the Holy Spirit ourselves. And many of these truths, we simply have to humble ourselves before Him. Be silent, be still. And He will reveal to us how glorious these eternal truths are, how important they are, which can bring us into a higher place with Him, which can compel us, propel us, give us that Holy Spirit touch that allows us to take our place, take our position with boldness with Him. And it's simple. It's simple. It's probably 90 to 95% or more spirit knowledge to our spirit person, not brain knowledge, not head knowledge. Not us studying and reading and learning. Spirit, our spirit person. And I'll finish up with this. It would be great if we can let go and let God. Let Him do it. Get rid of our old nature. Relax and let Him do it. That's when great things happen. We're not struggling, we're not straining, we can relax and we can rely on the greatest power in the universe. That's what faith is. Faith is reliance. And it's the same thing in receiving these wonderful revelations. I do want to add, Jesus said in many ways, He talked about us dying, getting rid of our old nature. That's such a theme from His overall teachings in the Gospels. If anyone wants to save his life, he'll lose it. If anyone loses his life, he will find it. He said, if anyone comes after me, let him take up his cross. Follow me. That's taking up your cross means dying. And the one of the biggest ones, one of the last things He said, talking about His own death, He said, if anyone loves his life, he will lose it. If anyone hates his life in this world, he will keep it for eternal life. Unless a seed of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it lives alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This is unbelievable that God Almighty would be revealing these things to us in this way, and that it's recorded for us to see and read. And it's just, He's talking, of course, about His death. He's also talking about every human being's, the way we are supposed to live. For eternity. He's revealing secrets kept hidden since the foundation of the world. That's in Psalms. That we have to die. Why? God created us to be in union with Him forever. He's the greatest being in the universe. We are nothing. But through Him, we can be in Him. We can receive Him and His glorious eternal life. This is what He created us for. This is why we are here on the earth. This is why we were born. why He created us. It's what we were born to do, to be in union with Him and fellowship with Him forever. Remember earlier what I said, God created man in His own image, the only being He created in his image. Angels are not created in His image. They don't have a soul. A soul is a mind, will, emotions, the ability to choose between serving someone and or not serving them, and choose millions of other things. We're created in God's image. We have the potential to be a child of God or not. As far as we know from the Bible, we're the only creation like that. Angels did rebel, right? One third of them rebelled. And so that's a whole nother mystery. But angels, they don't have a soul. They cannot choose to serve God. This is a whole different topic. My point is, when we realize these glorious truths, everything starts to make sense. Even the tough questions, someone can ask all those questions. How is there so much suffering in the world? How is it that the world is in such a bad place? These truths answer a lot of that. We're in a battle between God and the devil that's been going on for billions and trillions of years, way beyond mankind's 6,000 years of existence, way beyond what we can understand or comprehend. Man has the choice to serve God or not, to receive the gospel or not. Because we're made in His image. It's like somebody gave the analogy. Someone can work at a soap factory and they can still be dirty. There could be soap all around them. The biggest building around with soap everywhere, and they could still be dirty because the soap has to be applied. Same thing with the gospel. We have to receive Jesus Christ. We have to apply it. We have to do certain things, humble ourselves. So these truths can answer a lot of questions, but more than that, can allow us to take our place and fellowship with Him. Amen. To walk in union with Him. To apply the blood. To realize the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and why it's so important and why perhaps I should look more into this and give some more messages. I think I will, but at least at this point we realize that this grand story of the God creating the universe, creating the angels, trillions of years, billions of years, Lucifer rebelling, God creating mankind in His own image, and the blood is flowing through Adam's body. And he's in God's presence. And today, every person on the earth, 7.5 billion people, blood's flowing through their body. Life is in the blood. Thanks for listening. One more thing, an extra about the blood. Let's look at it from a common sense perspective. Someone doesn't have the Bible, they never hear the gospel or the name of Jesus Christ. They want a relationship with God. Well, it's just common sense. He's infinitely great. And we are essentially nothing. We have so many questions and mysteries we have no idea how to answer. And so it's only common sense that to find Him, we must give Him everything we have. We must realize this, that He's everything and we are nothing. And we humble ourselves before Him. And really, what does all that mean? We have to die. Let me add, this is just one Christian's thoughts and one, I'm an evangelist. These are just my opinions, but I want to at least get them out there on the table for us to think about, to meditate on. So this person realizes, I have to die. And when I do, then I can have a relationship with this higher power, this awesome God, this who obviously has created everything and who doesn't this sound familiar? Jesus talked about that, didn't he? One of his main themes, one of his main messages, this one of the last things that he said to his disciples in this glorious revelation, saying, unless a seed of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it lives alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He's talking about dying, and he, of course, in throughout his ministry, he talked about this and taught about it and preached about it. Dying. And so we hear that phrase, life is in the blood. Well, blood is life. Blood, for a human being, for animals, is life. That's our life. If we all know, even as children, when someone gets tragically, if they get shot in the wrong place, or if their blood is they lose their blood, they die. Life is in the blood. And so this pattern, this truth throughout the Bible that we see with all the seven covenants and the we see it all throughout the Old Testament. You can just start reading in the Old Testament and you read about the sacrifices and animals dying and the blood being shed. Life is in the blood. It has to be shed. There has to be this death for there to be life. The true life. The real life that we were created to have. That God created us for. Eternal life with Him. For us to go to heaven, what happens before we go to heaven? We have to die in the natural, physically. We die, if a human being dies and they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, amen, they go to heaven. Spiritually, it's the same way. We have to die to have a relationship with Him, to move forward in that relationship, this is glorious. Even though we're talking about death, something that's very sad, that's tragic. So let me get this straight. In the natural, we see throughout the history of God's relationship with man, the shedding of blood. In the natural, animals being sacrificed, the bird being killed and its blood shed. In the natural, starting with Adam, as I said earlier. And then the greatest one of all, Jesus Christ dying. In the natural, God came to earth as a man. He died, He shed His blood seven times. And He redeemed mankind. All of that is symbolic. Could it be that that is all symbolic also of us in the spiritually having to die? And when we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, when we have the blood of Jesus above us, God sees the blood and He sees that there has been that death which gives life. More on this in subsequent messages. Thank you.